thatsthenorm.com. Kelvin Tay is the renegade, the hustler, the foundation of Malaysian podcasting. He is the anti-fool. Welcome to the Anti-Fool Podcast. This is where we deconstruct the wisdom of people from all fields, backgrounds, and walks of life. My role is simple. I play the fool, I ask the questions, and you get the answers. Our guest is the anti-fool, the source of wisdom who we will learn from today. I'm on a mission to create the antidote to foolishness, so we can understand the world and ourselves better. Wonderful stuff, right? So, shall we? Hello there, the king of all fools, Norm here. In this episode, we get into a discussion between myself and a good friend of mine, Kelvin Tay of Renegade Radio. Renegade Radio is the premier podcasting network based in Malaysia, creating narratives, building on creative show ideas, and much more. As a fellow builder of the Asian podcasting space, I respect him for doing all he can through this company. That both of us have the same goal, to build the podcasting space around us. I focus on Asia-wide, while Kelvin focuses more on Malaysia. But we tackle this problem in two different ways, as a solopreneur and as an entire company. In this episode, we talked about how Renegade Radio and one of my brands, Podlovers Asia, runs in a growing podcasting space, defining engagement, attracting talent, and gatekeepers in an infant-level market. Connecting with and getting mentored by Robert Smith, one of the co-founders of Planet Money, and the future of work and how it'll affect podcasting, from remote work to asynchronous communication and changing mindsets, especially in our current environment. And without further ado, let's play the fool and learn from the wise by diving into my chat with Kelvin Tay. All right. Welcome to this episode with your host, Norman. I do have a co-host for today. Hello.
Hi, my name is Kelvin.
Okay. Kelvin from Renegade Radio. This is going to be a very fascinating topic that we're going to talk about today. How are you doing, first of all?
I'm doing really well. I had a really nice lunch today.
What was it?
Tough fun. Cheap, easy, simple.
Tough fun.
Tough fun.
Can you translate that into...
Economy rice? Is that what it's called?
Rice? Yeah. Mixed rice is probably the better translation.
Mixed rice. Mixed rice.
Well, yep. Economy rice. Not macroeconomics rice but in any way, shape, or form. But I will still take it because it is really cheap and economical.
How much was yours?
5 ringgit.
Mine was 7. Dude.
Oh, legit.
Economical. Man,
you went full premium.
Yeah.
Oh,
I went full premium.
Added an extra chicken. What are you doing? What are you up to? We do have members in the audience here. Comparing their prices for economical rice.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about economic rice. We're here to talk about how to run a business from two different points of view. This is going to be pretty fascinating because, Kelvin, you and I have two different things that we're working on.
We somewhat crafted our own unique place in society.
Yeah.
If I would say so.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And despite our very different backgrounds that both of us have gone into podcasting and as an industry... From non-radio or broadcast backgrounds.
Definitely.
And now we are starting our own initiatives.
That's the whole idea of what Renegade Radio is about.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Renegade because none of the partners are from broadcasting background.
Yeah. So talk to me about it. All right. I know about this, but I want to hear your take.
So for those of you who don't already know, Renegade can be described as the first properly independent podcasting network in Klang Valley or Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is... We specialize in podcasting. We create shows. We help others create their shows. We basically provide a platform for people with great ideas. And we give them a place to voice that ideas out.
So, you have some examples of great ideas so far? That
Kubu Nits for Talking, one of our best-selling shows.
Okay.
Done by Honey and Diana, two wonderful ladies who really love reading. And we gave them a platform to talk about books.
Hmm.
Epic Arcades, I mean, it's a bit of a self-sell. But me and Jeff, we really like talking about games, and we created a gaming show to talk about all things gaming. Cultivating the Masses, for another example, it's a show by a marketing company, which is No More.
Okay.
What they do is they bring in KOLs and ask them about people usually don't ask them.
Wait, pause on that thought. What's a KOL?
A key opinion leader.
Ah, okay.
It's a nice way of, I don't even know if it should be on the podcast, but
is it nice?
KOL,
just go for it.
Right, but KOL is a nice way of saying that I'm a social media influencer.
Okay. You can just say influencer, right?
That's what they call themselves, right? An influencer, but that's a nicer marketing term for them, which is KOL.
It's my first time hearing that term, but okay.
Yeah, opinion leaders.
All right. Well, okay, interesting. So you have multiple shows covering multiple genres, and you are all, you're helping produce the shows.
We are self-funded. Yeah. We are overworked. We are driven by passion.
Yeah. So you have a small, agile team.
A small and very flexible team.
Running a podcast network and production company.
Yes.
In Malaysia.
Just to give you an example, my title in the company is CEO, but it's not chief executive. It's basically cover everything officer.
Okay.
So I edit, I produce, I host, and I guide others, and I also provide consultation for other shows as well.
Yeah.
So it's basically, we are CEOs to an extent where we cover almost every aspect of the work.
So that this is when it gets really fascinating, because the more I'm hearing you, the more I'm like comparing how we work differently to my own work. So I have two main brands. That's the Norm Media, and the other one is Pot Lovers Asia. So that's the Norm Media is a brand catered to crafting unique careers. That's where I write all my content, all the blog posts on helping people with, you know, creating their own shows if they created their own content. Maybe it's a video or a post or a show or whatever it is. The point is that throughout this journey of trying to build something for my own as a solopreneur, I have created this brand to help others. And under that, since I have a love for podcasts, I created Pod Lovers Asia to report on the Asian podcasting scene. Now, my team members are myself and my laptop.
Just you and yourself.
That's me. And that can have some implications. It just shows that I'm also crazy.
I mean, to my knowledge, how I see you, you are the textbook definition of a solopreneur.
I guess so.
Right? Because how I explain to people what you do is you are the podcasting voice of the Southeast Asian region.
Mm.
If you want any news about all regarding podcasting in Malaysia or anywhere in SEA, Norman's your guy, man.
Yeah. Well, I try my best to keep up with that title, that expectation. And to do that solo is interesting because it will bring up quite a number of implications in terms of how we do our business, especially for you as a company and for me as someone who is a freelancer or a solopreneur, et cetera. So that's why I wanted to take this time to talk to you about this, because this is when it gets interesting. I don't have any experience running my own company.
Right.
I have never managed people.
What were you doing before this?
So before this, okay. Before this, I was head of marketing for a Japanese fintech company.
Okay.
Right. I was getting managed by other people.
Okay.
Right. So I was working in 9-to-5. We were working remote, which is great. But still, there was a hierarchy and the permissions. And
there's someone else that you have to report to, and there's a lot of red tapes, I'm going to assume.
Correct. Right? There were some barriers when we're trying to push for something. And we couldn't be as agile as we wanted to when trying to test out new ideas, trying to create a product market fit with the different products that we're trying to do. So I don't have any experience in terms of, okay, I'm at the very top. What do I see below me? And how can I serve these people that I'm trying to market towards? That kind of frustration had led me to resign and start my own thing. And this is where I am.
Yeah, and this is where you are today.
Yeah, and here we are at this table at the Renegade Studio.
This is a huge jump, right? From Japanese fintech to podcasting.
Yeah, I know. Right? Yeah. Which is great because the passion is what brings us here to podcasting. Now, I want to ask, how do you run your business?
Oh, that's a million-dollar question right there. It's how I see it is running your own business, your own network, in my case, it's a lot of R&D. Because being almost no knowledge of the industry itself. So me and my partners took about almost 2 years to properly research the industry. There's a lot of R&D, there's a lot of trial and error. But how you run the company is a lot of case studies.
Sure.
And unfortunately, the podcasting in Malaysia is still in its infant stage, where we can't go back and see how others have done it. And the closest example, what we are doing now under the RR network, is people from the States. So we actually have to go back and research, okay, what does a demographic of a podcasting company look like? Okay, you have your CEO, you have your CFO, you have a CTO, etc. But when it comes to recording, how many producers do you need? People who edit podcasts, they're not called editors, they're called sound engineers. Editors are people who go through all the scripts that you have, the stories that you have. So how do you title them? In terms of pay, how do you pay people? what amount they deserve and what amount their title holds fit to.
There's also average price, right. But then we're okay. comparing it, right, yeah. to like United States level markets
exactly.
there.
And yeah. then the other thing is, since it's an infant industry in Malaysia, when you try to when you try to hire someone, okay, you would ideally have someone on board who knows what a podcast is.
Yeah.
Let's say if I get an audio engineer from XYZ College, and it's like, okay, I need to edit a podcast. Then they're going to come to you and like, bro, what's a podcast? And it's like, it's a obstacle by itself. Okay. Yeah. So going back to your question, how we run the company, there's a lot of R&D. We have okay. so many fuck ups. Okay. Hmm. So many mistakes have been made. But it's a learning journey. That's all I can say. It's finding the competent people, finding the right people, like our producer here, Jasmine, right? She's right behind you. Mm-hmm. She is one of the most competent people I know within Malaysia that knows about the podcasting industry. And she is one of, I don't know, 1,000 people, 100 people who really dedicated her time to research podcasting like yourself. It's, yeah, the key for my company now is to finding people like you or Jasmine, for example.
Well, how do you find these people? Is it a matter of just putting an ad out there and saying, hey, we're looking for podcast lovers?
Okay, that's an option. Okay, yeah. That's an option. It's like, hey, we are hiring. Give us your CV.
Yeah.
And then from 100 CV, maybe half of them or like a quarter or 1 in 10 of them are competent. Mm. But usually how I find people is that we network. You go out, find people, or miraculously, people start finding you. It's like, hey, we love podcasts too. But there's no network here in Malaysia,
but
you guys are the first, and I want to be a part of it.
Yeah,
you know, it's we had a couple, not a couple, actually a few people who came to us as like, we like what you do, and we want to be a part of it, and that's how we came in contact, and it's like, yeah, that's where Jazz is now.
Nice, nice. Right. So like, even all the efforts and all the R&D that you do attracts not only talent, but also other companies who
definitely,
are looking at the space
definitely.
From a point of view where, oh, okay, we see value in it too, and maybe we want to help in contributing to building that space in the first place. Like
because
you said.
If you look at the industry now within Malaysia, branded podcast is being thrown around everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you have complete market share of, let's say, your own personal industry, the question is always, what's next?
Yeah.
Right? And then what? Podcasting. Hmm. Right? Why not put a voice behind your brand? Sell more value, add more value, have loyalty between your brand and your customer. Mm-hmm. So I think moving towards 2020 and beyond, more and more companies will have their own podcasting, adding on value to what they already have today.
So this is pretty interesting because I came through to the same sentiments as a solopreneur,
mm-hmm.
as in tapping into the Malaysian podcast industry. If there is one, but
if there is one.
I mean, and when we were trying to start it out, right?
Yeah. That's what we're trying to build here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. To me, networking was the largest method, or like it had the greatest value derived from that way of trying to build this space. As in, it was very hard to start a group on your own. You're gonna have to hustle and create shows and then market and say that, hey, we have podcasters in Malaysia or in Southeast Asia at the very least, and let people know that despite the fragmented space, there are people who are willing to be part of a community.
Definitely.
We just need to start building that community in the
Definitely.
First place. So we have, great guys like you who are starting companies and in tackling this issue, at least in the ASEAN region. So props to you for being pretty awesome with trying to tackle that with Renegade.
It was just, it started off as a passion project. That's all I can say. And where we are today is, to me, it's unbelievable.
The great part is that you're pretty much scratching your own itch, right?
Yeah.
Like you realize like, oh, something's missing.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it myself.
Okay. What we learn in business is always create something that people need.
Yeah.
And when I found this void of the missing podcasting industry in Malaysia, I was like, hey, no one else is doing it. Why not me? Right? So yeah, that's the idea behind how we came about today.
Mm. I saw that void as well, I feel like. And
right?
I did it. In my own unique manner. And that's why I like it's kind of nice like talking about this with you because we
nice
look at it different
ways. It's a cooperation what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I would rather create win-win situations than competition. Yeah.
In business, again, okay. For those of you who don't know, I am majoring in business, finance and entrepreneurship. Business, it's always collaboration and win-win. You can't create a scene where it's win-lose,
yeah.
okay, for long-term and expect something great coming out from it.
Yeah. Especially with upcoming predictions for
definitely
the future of work and all that. Like, we are trying to sustain and grow a market and a space where other people can thrive. And if you contribute to the ecosystem, that is when the company can thrive itself.
I help you, you help me, we grow together, win-win.
Yeah. And everybody wins. Yeah. Now, to help with that, I want to hear your take on, as a business, how do you communicate, like, with your fans, your followers, and with your team?
For the time being, how we are communicating with our fans, for the audience out there who can't hear, we have Nani in the room, and he's been taking videos and pictures of this recording itself.
Yeah.
And from there on, those pictures of videos would be distributed through various social media channels.
Yeah.
We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and later on, LinkedIn. So this is how we engage with our fans, for example.
Yeah, okay.
Like, on every end of an episode, we will always tell people, hey, what do you think of this show? Do you have personal thoughts? Do you think we're right or wrong? Tell us. Shoot us a DM. Shoot us an email. You can find us on where.
You invite people to interact with you.
Definitely.
After every piece of content. Yep. Okay. And you have a dedicated social media managers, right?
We had a dedicated
I see.
She's going to Italy for 6 months to further study.
To travel. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
study. All right, okay.
Everything will be done in-house again.
I see. Mm. No, all the best to her. I'm just realizing, as a solo business person, that marketing is its own beast.
How do you do it alone?
Lots of scheduling. I do it in my own time. I also maximize my own personal brand.
What platform are you on?
Mainly Twitter, right? Because that's where most podcasters are.
Okay. Podchaser has been very active on Twitter.
Yeah, props to Podchaser.
Definitely.
For being pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Davis, pretty awesome guy.
They are very supportive within the industry.
Yeah. And so they are a very good example of creating an ecosystem, right? They serve a product that serves others to elevate themselves.
Yeah.
That's the biggest part about it.
I loved your tagline. What is Podchaser? IMDb of podcasting.
Yeah.
Straight, simple, easy.
Yeah. Everybody knows IMDb. Everybody knows what's a podcast.
Yeah.
Therefore, it makes sense.
Almost everybody knows what a podcast
is. I mean, almost everybody.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, this side of the world is a completely different story.
Mm.
But anyway, back to this. When you talk about communication, what do you think is important, especially as someone running a business? So this is when it gets pretty complicated, right?
Engagement.
So more than likes, more than number of people who subscribe to your show, maybe engagement.
And because the number of likes are just a number.
Yeah.
Okay. People can just go on social, see what you post, and they can or cannot like it if they want to.
Mm.
Okay. But looking at the statistics that we have in house, there are people listening to the show. And podcasting, like YouTube, is a audience driven medium.
Mm.
All right. And where the audience comes from is, like, you create good content, you attract people to listen to. And when you have people listen to, you want to know who they are, right? What they like. Do you like horror? Okay, for BookNerds, for example, do you like horror books? Do you like self-help books? Do you like romance? All right? And from there, we can gauge what kind of content that we have. So engagement is definitely a key for us.
Okay. Right? What's your, do you have like a favorite or the most preferred way to engage? Have you ever? Oh, actually, I've never asked you this. Have you ever engaged with your favorite shows?
No, I actually have never. Mainly because the shows that I listen to are all these westernized podcasts. They have millions.
Yeah,
listeners.
I mean, you listen to a few, right? A few key ones.
I do.
Maybe have you reached them out on Twitter?
Yeah, okay. I have reached out to what's his name, Robert Smith, one of the core founders of Planet Money, NPR. I shot him a DM, and luckily enough, the same time he was going to Penang. The same day, the internal team is going to Penang.
Oh,
I was like, hey,
what a coincidence!
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I saw his post in Singapore. Okay, he was in Singapore the day before, and I was like, I sent him a message in caps. It's like, Malaysian food is better. All right, and he replied miraculously. I was like, oh, He replied. And it's like, hey, I'm going down to Penang next week. And then he was like, oh, we're going down to Penang next week too. And then I just did a random shout out. It's like, hey, this is what we're doing. Okay, we are an independent podcast, almost nothing like this in Malaysia. Can we meet up with you? Let me buy you a drink. I just want to talk podcasting. And he's like, yeah, sure. And we went to Penang. We met him. It was scheduled for about an hour, but we sat down with him in Lover's Lane, Penang for 4 hours over drinks and just talking about nothing but podcasting. And he was guiding us on everything. He's like, okay, you need a shotgun mic. This is how you do an interview. This is how NPR scripts their stuff. This is how we put all the shows together, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, yeah, dude, you don't get that.
Wait, so was he just, is there alone? Was he just there?
He was there with his family. But when he met up with us, it was at night. It's at night, about 9, 10 in the evening. And we just sat down at this part, this bar called Joe. It's a corner store. It's in
Joe Rogan.
No, it's not Joe Rogan. But yeah, we just sat down and talked about podcasting the whole night. You don't get that. Like, it's like meeting Brad Pitt and getting advice from him from like, how do you be an actor, right? Of his caliber. Because when you talk about podcasting, Planet Money is often being featured as like top 10, right? So yeah, it's like meeting my personal idol.
God, that's pretty awesome. Right? That is honestly pretty damn cool.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to Robert Smith, man. That guy has been like a huge guidance for me.
The highest form of communication is like meeting the person in real life.
Right. No, meeting the people who inspired you to start something that you started.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Super cool, man.
I hope to be able to make that kind of impact.
Who do you want to meet? Like, who's your podcasting superstar?
Nate DeMayo? Memory Palace?
Oh. Wait, is he American as well?
He's American.
Shoot him a DM, man.
Yeah.
Just tell him that Malaysian food is better.
From Providence, I believe. Okay. Providence, Long Island. I think that's right.
Okay.
I don't know my American cities or states. Okay.
Long Island is New York.
Ah, okay. Wow. Yeah. I mean, in that area.
Okay.
Somewhere west, I'm sure. Sorry, east. Oh,
dude,
Lord.
I don't know my American
For
geography.
My American listeners, I'm really sorry. But Nate DeMayo.
They can shoot you an email and tell you where... That is right.
Engagement. You can email me at but really Nate DeMayo was the one that made me want to create narrative episodes. So that was probably when everything started. The podcasting flower bloomed in me as I started on this journey to create something unique for myself that is dependent on my voice, depending on my ability to interview and chat and all that, which is pretty awesome. Now, I do want to ask, since we are on the topic of running a business or running our own initiatives in the podcasting space,
the pocket space.
But the podcasting space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to edit that out in a bit. Okay. The podcasting space. We're going to have to talk money because...
Oh, man.
Before
we go into the money part, there's this Jeff, okay?
Okay.
We were in the interview...
Co-founder of Radio. Yeah, yes.
Co-founder of RR. We were interviewed by BFM, Richard Bradbury. And he asked the same question as you guys, as you. It's like, how much have you guys earned as of today? It's actually zero. But Jeff was like, $7. I was like, where do you get the number from, man? Yeah. We do offer various different services besides crafting podcasting.
Yeah.
Okay. So as of today, we've been renting the studio out for people to utilize. We go towards the consultation part of business where we can help other brands or other individuals create their own podcast. And there's some other avenues for revenue.
Yeah.
That's like how I say it would be advertising. Advertising and sponsorship of individual shows that we have under the network.
Okay. So you'd have like a media kit or a pitch deck for Renegade?
We definitely have a pitch deck. Media kit is on the way.
Yeah.
But we definitely have a template of like what show A is about.
Yeah.
All right. And what is it most suitable for? Mm. What is show B about? And who's best to advertise on show B? And so on and so forth.
It's fascinating deep diving into Renegade's business model because you have like different avenues of providing value.
We have a spy in our midst.
It's for my own thing though. Like renting out space to consultations, to drafting content.
Yeah.
Essentially, you are, by producing shows for people, you are marketing your own capabilities, right? Your ability to produce shows in that regard.
The main reason why is because, again, podcasting is still an infant industry within Malaysia.
Yeah.
And when we start approaching people who are in their mid-40s or above, they're always in the higher executive level of business, and they are the one creating the red tapes and approving finances, for example.
Yeah.
So when you go and approach them, it's like, hey, we have a show that we would like you to sponsor or advertise on. They'll be like, okay, what is this about? Oh, it's a podcast. And then they're going to ask you the same thing again. What's a podcast? And once they ask you, what is a podcast? It would immediately show that they have zero confidence in what podcasting is. When someone have no confidence in whatever you have created, why would they put their own money in to support your show?
How would you educate them on it?
We will, the basic thing, like, we put out our mantra.
Okay.
Right? All right, this is a podcast. What is a podcast?
Ah, yes.
Right?
Ah, yes.
It's a story that
The standard podcasting 101 sales template.
It's an elevator pitch, okay? But it's not an elevator pitch anymore. It's a mantra. Because how many times have you explained to people your parents' age, all right? Or people your own age, what a podcast is? Countless, right?
I have more than the bones of my body, probably.
Right?
Yeah. Over 200 times.
So it's not an elevator pitch anymore. It's a mantra. Like it's iron into your head already.
But that's one of the biggest barriers behind a space that is so
niche, right?
And or still at its infancy stage,
right?
That we still have to spend a lot of effort in trying to increase the awareness of podcasting as a medium, right? Not even to sell, for Renegade, for example, not even to sell services, but just to tell them, hey, this exists, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, there's YouTube, but did you know there's audio only stuff? And did you know that you can download it? It's things like that make it quite a challenge, which I find quite interesting that you're able to persevere with Renegade despite...
I mean, we have to. I have to make sure that this baby of mine actually grows.
And
the main challenges, the main obstacle, I would say, it's just explaining to people, educating people what Podcasting 101 is. Because this is a personal gripe, a personal bone to pick with one of the biggest media companies within Malaysia. How they sold the idea? Actually, there's two companies. Company one.
Don't want to fight with them. Okay.
I'm not trying to fight with them. I'm not trying to be a gatekeeper. But knowing that Malaysians don't know what a podcast is, and you as a big media company go out and show people that's your take on a podcast, it will turn off a lot of potential audiences.
Mm.
Okay. Like Company A, for example, what they do is they convert everything they have on FM into a digital file and call it a podcast. It's not wrong. Okay. It's still a podcast. Company B, they only limit their shows to 10 minutes per show. Okay. And it's all unscripted. This is my point of view. Nonsense. And you go in. There's one show that I heard from Company B. It's a movie review podcast, where in 10 minutes, they review 3 films. To me, that's not the way you do podcasting. Again, I'm gatekeeping here.
How do you review three movies? I can't even talk about a movie in 10 minutes.
So if you are a listener who just want, I've been hearing people throw around this term podcasting like everywhere, and Company B is doing it, I'm going to go check it out. And they check out the 10 minutes of pure nonsense, in my opinion, again.
Yeah.
It's like, that's all? That's podcasting? Okay. And it would just turn them off. Next time when they hear the term podcasting, they'll be like, it's just like this 10 minutes, people talking, all this nonsense. And then, it's not my thing. I just want to listen to radio again.
Yeah.
I don't know why I jumped into the Chinese voice, but but that's my biggest gripe within the broadcasting and podcasting industry in Malaysia. Because for people like us, the podcasts that we find are from the States, mostly. And you have people from the UK. And recently, Taiwan and Hong Kong has been increasing their frequency of podcasting as well. And they all do it very seamlessly in terms of story-driven narrative. And it's done so beautifully, so well-produced. And I just wish more Malaysians can find those contexts on what a proper podcast is.
I call those rodcasts, as in radio converted into podcasts. So just switch the P for the R, rodcast.
Have you heard of this term, vodcast, VODcast?
Yeah, it's a video podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can work because you can turn it into an audio feed and people can... Because I listen to a few that are like that.
That's the old template of CTM. It's a vodcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Of course. Yeah. I've watched a few, which is pretty interesting. Now, in an interesting space like this, right? We too, entrepreneur and solopreneur, are trying to survive, stay afloat in this rising space. But we know that despite the barriers that we come to, we're still trying because we see the potential behind gaining, well, one, getting market share in Malaysia, but more importantly, creating a voice of our own as Malaysians trying to build a podcasting space.
It's basically what we're trying to do is to create an ecosystem of podcasters in Malaysia. That's all.
So there are going to be some factors that may affect that. So I do want to talk to you about...
What are the factors?
The future of work. So we can see there are different ways to look at this. So a few things would be remote work, asynchronous communication. It could be accessibility to all kinds of talent across the world where, for example, if Renegade were to hire more members, it doesn't have to be just local. Oh, it doesn't have to be right here. It may not even have to be an office. Maybe you in your studio or in your office space, rather, there will only be recording studios and nothing more.
Yeah.
Everything else would be virtual. So I do want to ask, what are your thoughts on maybe how Renegade will navigate across different changes in the workplace or work environment?
I recently got used to the idea of a video call.
Because interesting.
I never liked the idea of a video call.
Why?
I don't like seeing myself. Maybe the front-facing camera has some issues with my face. I just don't like seeing myself on camera. But moving forward in the future of the workspace, if you tell me that for me, in order for me to hire someone competent in the podcasting industry, they're maybe in Singapore, they're maybe in the States, they're maybe in the UK, I can't fly there. I mean, I can, but is it cost effective?
Yeah.
Or do I just jump into a voice call or a video call? So moving forward, I think working remotely would benefit not only companies or solopreneurs like you and me. It would definitely help everyone throughout industries of all aspects. Looking to the future of work, I honestly have no idea what I would expect. Because within Renegade, and I promote the idea of remote work because it's not every day that we have recordings, okay? Maybe like today, for example, we have three recordings pan out. Yesterday, there was zero. So there's no point of my staff coming into the office. It's like, I'm just going to sit here the whole day and just do nothing.
Or do the same thing that you could do at home.
Yeah, exactly.
Or somewhere,
do the same thing you can do. Because if it's scripting, if it's editing a podcast, if it's coming up with new show ideas, I don't need you to come all the way, like an hour and a half from where you are to where I am. If you can fulfill to me what I need from your comfort of your own house, come up with the same results you can as if you are in the office, I don't mind that.
That does bring up a point that I actually forgot to write in my notes, but this is going to be pretty interesting. Changing from a time-oriented mindset to a results-oriented mindset.
Yeah.
So that's the big one. Because I feel that, I think I read this somewhere, a 9-to-5 job is advocating for a time-oriented mindset, i.e., your value in the company is defined by the number of hours you are working in the office.
Yeah.
And that is used to be done because we have had factory workers or factory schedules punching in, you know, clocking in, clocking out. The fact that you're at the conveyor belt doing the work and all that.
You are being so-called graded by the amount of hours you've quote-unquote clocked in to work.
Yeah.
Like in my old company, I was interning this company. We are forced to be there 8 to 7 every day. Right. And out of that 9 hours, I was mostly on Reddit doing nothing. And
they hire you to be on Reddit, man. Yeah, you're getting paid to be on Reddit.
It's not that I did not do my work. I finished whatever my supervisor had given me. And for the next 5 hours, she was like, just do whatever you want to do. I was like, can I go home?
So you were on standby?
Yeah, I was on standby. I said there was more work for the interns. And I was like, what the hell do I do for the next 5 hours, you know? I was on Reddit most, and I was getting paid per hour. So I wasn't complaining. But if you were to allow me that freedom to remote work from home, I could fulfill so much more in so little time. And I wouldn't want to waste your time. I wouldn't want to waste my own time, which I feel like how it should be moving forward within any industry, actually.
Yeah, pretty much in the industry. Mm. I mean, we're talking about in general, including podcasting, of course. Yeah, it's pretty fascinating to see that change over time with a lot of remote companies growing.
I think it's our generational mindset
all around the world. I feel like it's a mix. Hey, wait, so why our generation? Why? I'm curious.
Okay, if you look at entertainment for our generation now, everything is on demand.
Sure.
Okay. Everything is me. I want this on my time. I want this the way I want it. Everything is customized to, quote unquote, a freedom of choice. Okay. So if I were to sit you down and force you to watch Astro for 12 hours compared to giving you the freedom of Netflix, for example, which one would you choose?
Netflix.
Why?
Because I...
You can choose whatever you want to watch.
I can choose whatever I want.
Whatever you want to watch, right?
Okay. Yeah, if I feel like just being a lazy sack of potatoes in bed. And then...
Okay, same goes for work. My partner, Nani, came up with the idea where if we have an office in the future, which is coming soon, hopefully, fingers crossed.
It will.
I wouldn't want my staff to have that 9-to-5. We would be okay. We agreed that we would be okay for an 11-to-8. Why? Because if you are working from 11 to 8, you can sleep later, okay? Second point is you can skip the jam, all right? Why do I need you to come in at 9, but you have to wake up at 6, get ready, face the jam every day, and then reach work with like all groggy, another Monday.
I get what you mean. Yeah, okay? Yeah.
And then when you go home at 6, right? You never leave at 6. You're like, oh, it's 6. It's going to be jam hour. And everyone's like, oh, if you come down to KL, 9, 1, and 6 are the worst time to leave or go anywhere.
Yeah, to be on the road.
Right?
Yeah.
So if we start at 11 and at 8, you'll still be doing the same thing you're doing. But you have the freedom of waking up later and you can avoid the jam altogether.
So remote work in this case, right? It doesn't include... being able to work anywhere. It also includes the flexibility of working according to a certain number of hours. We're not saying don't work at all. We're saying work at the best environment that you can create for yourself or at least the company can create.
Can you imagine scripting, recording, and editing a podcast in your boxes?
I mean, I've done that.
Like,
all the time.
Yeah. It's the freedom that you have. Me, as a business owner, I never believe in tying people down. It's like, I have this task for you. This task is due this time. What I need throughout this task is here. Just give it to me before the time I need it and you're good.
Yeah.
I don't need to come into the office like every day and it's like, oh no, I'm gonna act like I'm busy. Hmm. No, it's like, just do you.
Yeah.
But don't miss the deadline.
There are deadlines, but how you work towards it is
up
to
you,
right? Yeah, that's...
You can wake up at 3, sleep at 5, I don't care.
Yeah.
Deadline is deadline, right?
Now, related to that, is something called asynchronous communication. So asynchronous communication is basically this. I think you've felt this before. You use WhatsApp a lot.
Yeah.
I know you use WhatsApp.
I have to.
You use WhatsApp a lot for both personal and for business.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you use WhatsApp to do anything for business or to do anything work-related and you message someone, you expect instant replies, don't you?
Oh,
right? Okay.
Okay.
Right? And when someone messages you on WhatsApp, there are a few thoughts that come to your mind that they go along the lines of, someone's messaged me, I got a notification, I think it's important, I have to check. And it'll affect your flow, it'll affect your deep work mode.
Okay,
So that's synchronized.
Okay.
That's synchronous communication. Asynchronous communication means that there is communication, but you are free to receive the content in your own time.
Right.
An example, the most rudimentary version of this is email, right? Let's just say I work with you guys and I have a task, right? I have a deadline and then you guys work for me. I send an email. I set the deadline. I set all the project briefs, details. But as soon as I send it to you, I don't have to bother you at all. And I don't have to ask for updates.
Yeah.
Because I trust you enough that you guys will be able to do it in your own creative time.
Yeah.
Because maybe Nani works at 1 a.m. in the morning. Mm-hmm. And maybe you work at 11 and it will be at a day where I won't be working, let's just say.
Mm.
Asynchronous means that it's most of the time one way. As in, we are always not on standby replying back to each other messages, right? Everything is clear from the get-go. I'm curious, is it going to be hard to implement that in the future? Maybe not for Renegade. but maybe in the, general, maybe
in,
like
industry in general,
in the industry or for the people around you. Because I know you have a vast network. You know other people who also work.
I think that would still stay the same.
Yeah,
because again, if I have a task for you,
yeah,
it would be ideal for me to list down what I need you to do, like in details, and I set a deadline, send it off to you, and like you said, I trust you enough to be competent enough to fulfill whatever deadline was set out to. So I think that will stay the same. How will you see changes in this?
Well, first of all, no WhatsApp for business. That's definitely one thing.
It's a good way for engagement.
With your customers or your employees?
Customers.
Okay, so not your employees.
Okay. For employees-wise, you have things like Trello.
Trello, okay.
Okay.
That's a bit asynchronous, actually.
Really, yeah?
Because you can set up the cards and then you don't have to keep commenting to like ask for updates. Right? It's about how you use Trello. And it's also the mindset behind creating this asynchronous environment. That's the big one. My biggest gripe with synchronous communication, and how I always bring up this with you, even outside of this recording, that you use WhatsApp for business, which is honestly, to me, really aggravating, is that... Yeah, you keep laughing now. Is that we come in with the expectation that we're going to get a reply ASAP, which means that we're being distracted by the messaging app. We are being distracted by the fact that we need something to receive before we can continue our work.
Mm.
And that's the big one. There's nothing wrong with like asking questions even after the deadline is set or whatever.
How would you do it?
Use something like Twist.
Explain.
So Twist does it very interesting. So Twist is the communication app done by Duist. And the way that they do it is that they have different threads and channels and all that. And they would have different topics or different threads to define one project or one outcome.
Okay. Right?
Each thread is saved as one outcome, or depending on how your company does it. And people focus all their conversations on there. But the cool thing about it is that you can set off all notifications, turn off. You don't have to be online all the time there.
Okay.
They force you to not be on there. You only come there for when you need more information.
Hmm.
There is a messaging aspect, but it's not like the primary feature. And I feel like that's the future because you work in your own way. And I don't want to distract you from the output.
I'm going to cut you off there for a while, real quickly.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I've been on the edge of just removing all Renegade Radio WhatsApp chat, right? All groups, okay? All groups. And push everyone into Trello or some other organizational management app, for example. But I could never do that jump. Maybe it's me being conservative, okay? Maybe it's just me being afraid that I won't be able to track what the movement of the other person is doing or the teammates are doing.
All of it?
It's me.
Okay.
I'm just afraid.
Okay. Why?
I don't have an answer for you.
Okay.
It's just me being scared to just try to
Maybe it's like your position and maybe there's a certain level of responsibility.
Because people like you, for example... Right, you are work driven. Okay, and when I reach out to you and ask you, hey Norman, what is this podcast about? What is this medium about? What is this show about? Who is this person about? You'd be like, okay, you will give me the breakdown. Okay, the 411 of everything. What if you deal with someone who is not work driven? They're just like whatever.
Is that a matter of conforming to one's work ethic, or is it a culture issue or a work culture issue?
Personally, I think it's the latter.
Latter, okay.
People get too comfortable sometimes, right?
Okay.
How would you deal with that? Because
how would I deal with that?
I've met with people who worked for me, and it's like, I'll give you the freedom that you require. If you can't conform to the 9-to-5 life, I'm okay with you being a night owl. I'm okay with you being nocturnal. But just fulfill this within this time frame. And they never fulfilled it. First chance given, second chance given, third chance given. And they're gone.
Interesting.
What would you do if you're in my position?
Interesting.
Your position, since you're a solopreneur, and you hire the services of someone freelance, for example,
yeah,
what will you do?
So My process for hiring a freelancer is that I would have set the project outline as if I'm hiring myself. As in, these are the expectations of details that I feel if I was hired as a freelancer, which I have done freelancing, I expect these kinds of details. I'll write it as if I'm hiring myself. And then from there, I say, okay, I want it by this deadline. And then I pass this all this information to that person. And I say, hey, I need, let's just take an example. I need a logo done for my new podcast show.
Okay.
And I would like the following. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. These color schemes or this color palette, these are the inspirations. Before we start anything, please let me know if you have any questions. And you can start after I give you 50% advance.
Yeah.
Because I follow strict rules for
50
paying.
50 first, 50 late.
50 first, yeah. 50 late. Yeah, 50 first, non-refundable, and then 50 late. Or milestone. These are the things that I expect someone would, when working with me as a freelancer, would be set before we begin anything. Which means we are just talking right now, and nothing starts until the money is sent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? We're ironing out the details.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is what I need.
Yeah.
How can I help you? How can I help you help me help you look better?
Exactly.
Right?
And this is when the value of hiring freelancers comes in. And I feel like this is another thing that we should talk about just a little bit, but I'll get to it in a bit. Okay. Essentially, it's the gig economy, right?
No, yeah.
And it's where freelancers are work-driven already because they understand the value of dollars per hour or ringgit per hour in our case.
You can't be a freelancer going out and say, I want to provide this service eventually.
Eventually, yeah.
Right.
You do it now,
yeah.
Or else you have no food on the table, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
They are hungry, right? And they, in order to maximize their potential or maximize their productivity, the rules have to be set, as in, where is the money coming in?
Okay.
Right? What is the details, right? Before we start, so we minimize risk for both parties, etc. They know what it's like. I've never gone through the point of hiring someone because I'm actually worried about that exact issue that you brought up.
Yeah.
Because I am worried about people who are comfortable. I have a big filter for that. People who work better in 9-to-5 because they only choose to work in the comfort zone of a 9-to-5.
For the sake of working.
For the sake of working, yeah. For the sake of their definition of working, right?
Mm.
Because we have different definitions of working.
Mm.
And when you hire a freelancer, they're not only just working, they're executing, right? They know what's good, they know what's bad. They know the standard that they're looking for. They have their own standards. That's why they can maintain a reputation as a freelancer. That's why they can actually put foot on the table. Their lives depend on each and every project that are given.
Yep.
That level of professionalism is something that I highly respect. So I would treat it with respect as if it was myself that I should give respect. If I were to deal with someone who I hired, like full-time, and they are not going to that aspect, I would sit down and do a review with them. I would give them 3 strikes. And by 3 strikes, I'll let them go. I'll let them go.
Yeah, that's the same.
Not even 3, maybe even 2. Because I expected them to work in that kind of environment from the get-go. Our cultures have to fit. If my own employee is getting too comfortable, it's either that they were driven and then they became comfortable and they need a shock. And I'm not going to provide that shock for them.
Yeah.
So I should let them go. Maybe they can grow somewhere else. And I will treat them all the same. They'll be great people anyway.
You just gave me a really good idea.
What is it?
I should let the guy go.
Uh-oh. But we can talk about that more later on.
Yeah, we can talk about it off the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And related to that is the gig economy. More and more people will be doing their own individual initiatives. For example, my own. How do you think that there will be more and more people, at least in Malaysia or in Asia, where they'll be doing their own solo initiatives?
Oh, definitely.
Freelancers and all that.
A lot of my friends are solopreneurs now. Yeah. They're all a part of some big company, big agency, big names.
Mm.
And they're like, why am I putting 20 hours a day working for a client and only receiving pennies?
Mm.
Right? Why can't I just do something like this myself? And get all the money that I am owed to.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, definitely moving forward, the gig economy will grow.
Yeah.
Definitely. But how it will grow, that scares me.
Okay.
Because if you take Grab and Foodpanda, for example,
sure.
they thrive on the gig economy. Okay. But all these are only short term.
To clarify, Grab is the Uber equivalent in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Foodpanda is the food delivery service, a bit like Uber Eats, essentially. Okay. Yeah, keep going.
So what happens if all these people start to realize that this short-term finances that they're receiving are only short-term? What would they see in the long run? Will the gig economy unionize? Or will it collapse completely? Right? And that is just the food transport or food transport business. In terms of solopreneurs, how far are they willing to go to compromise the amount of money that they receive from a client? It's like, hey, I am doing this service, and behind me there are 10,000 people doing the same thing as well. So why choose me? Oh, because they offer you 10K, I offer you 5. They're just gonna break the whole gig economy for everyone.
And everyone there'll be a price dependent thing, yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, I should have just stick to my big company that I did last time, which paid me this amount, which I'm comfortable with, and I might get an increment. So now, yes. Later, I don't know.
Okay. That's an interesting way to look at it. Right. It's a filter, right? Yeah. For people who are hungry enough to want more.
Yeah.
Or the people who would want to back down to a comfortable position.
Just look at it at YouTube.
Yeah.
At its golden age, everyone was coming with the stupidest cat videos, okay? And from the golden age comes the silver age where it's dwindling everyone, like everyone is doing cat videos. So how do you make yourself unique? You do prank videos. And these are not the prank where you just make something humiliating or stupid of yourself. You go out and start hurting people and tell people, oh, it's a prank, it's a prank. Okay? That's how bad the quality has been driven. People are willing to do more ridiculous, hurtful things to themselves and people around them to get that 1% more attention than their counterpart.
To stand out from
right?
Yeah. Others doing similar things.
Yeah. Mm. Same goes for our gig economy as well. Everyone can start a podcast. But how good your standard is in terms of, I want to create the best show ever. What is your standard and definition of that best show ever? Okay? Yeah, that's how I see it.
So on the rise, when you're trying to stand out, how do you differentiate yourself from everybody else doing something similar? That is something that you, our listener, should probably think about until we come in for the next episode. Where we talk about more on building a space for you. My name is Norman, and thank you, Kael, for co-hosting this with me.
Anytime,
Pretty fascinating chat. And we're going to ponder about the future of work and all that later on in the next episode. Take care, and thank you.
Have a good one, guys.
And that's it. My chat with Kelvin Tay of Renegade Radio. That's something that you can ponder about. The future of work, how it's affecting various environments, various markets like podcasting, and much more. You can find out more about Kelvin and Renegade Radio in the show notes right below. I'll be posting their social media links as well as their main website so you can check out all their interesting shows. But for now, stay warm, stay lovely. I'll see you in the next episode. Your foolish friend, Norm. Thank you for listening to the show. Anti-Fool is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Norman Chella. You can find out more about the show at thatsthenorm.com/antifool. It's where I host all my other podcast shows and more. The music and sound effects come from zapsplat.com. If you have any questions, recommendations for guests, and more, hit me up on Twitter at Norman Chella or on LinkedIn as well. There is only one of me in the world. I'm sure you can find me there. I love connecting with people and having warm, meaningful conversations. Don't be foolish, all right? Cheers.